the great prophet Keanu Reeves once said, when I think about John Wick, I think about him as John and John Wick. I think of John Wick being the assassin part of John. I would say that guy has strong will. He never gives up. And there's kind of an honor to him. He's a man of strength. But there are even some vulnerabilities to him. But most importantly, he's really good at his job. So Ashley, I wanted to ask you, as a person who has now seen John Wick 1, John Wick 2, and John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, or not Parabellum, depending on what market you see it in, do you agree with this assessment that there are two characters, that there is a John and a John Wick?
Perhaps there are.
I ask because I don't see it.
I would say we've seen very little of John.
Correct.
If that is the case. However, as the star and as an actor who's doing their work, for Keanu Reeves, there should absolutely be two Johns. I can see how that would be from his perspective. I would say based on the movies, not so much.
I wonder if we've also stumbled upon possibly the future subtitle of John Wick Chapter 5, A Tale of Two
there
Johns.
There are two Johns.
There is the perfect way to begin this lesson. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson, everybody. I am Jason Two Johns Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or action hero from pop culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And this is kind of an accidental series. It's kind of a reprise. We did John Wick, colon, the first movie, only the first movie, just the first one.
And I don't remember what episode number we did it. So go Google it, everybody.
We talked a little bit about the comics in that continuity as well. And now we are back talking about John Wick 2 and 3, AKA 2 and 3 Parabellum.
Well, you're getting the subtitles completely wrong. It's actually John Wick Chapter 2.
Oh, for goodness sake.
John Wick Chapter 3, colon, Parabellum.
Anyway, our 300th episode was John Wick.
Yeah. And John Wick, colon, Chapter 4, no subtitle as far as we know, is about to hit movie theaters everywhere. So we thought it would be a great time to have a movie retrospective on John Wick Chapter 2 and John Wick, colon, Chapter 3, colon, Parabellum.
There's two colons?
I don't know. I'm just adding colons.
That's unfortunate.
I mean, I hope John doesn't have two colons, because that's going to lead to some problems.
John Wick Chapter 4, Donnie Yen fun time.
Okay, so let's hop into the 10-cent origin, of course, for John Wick Chapter 2. There will be some spoilers, of course, for both of these movies, and we highly recommend that, go watch these movies before you listen to this podcast, please.
Yeah, they're also streaming for free at the time of this recording.
Or not.
So on Peacock.
They're both on Peacock if you want to watch some ads.
So it's the first one also. So go check them all out if you haven't seen them.
All right. So John Wick Chapter 2 was directed by Chad Stahelski. I don't know if that's how you say his last name, but that's the best
thing
to do.
We're doing our best.
It was written by Derek Kolstad, the same team that did the first one. It was based on characters by Derek Kolstad. It was released in January of 2017, and it had a budget of $40 million. And Ashley, let's play some box office fun here. How much money do you think, I don't know whether this is worldwide or not, but how much money do you think John Wick Chapter 2 made off of $40 million budget?
Okay, I think
we've gotten two sequels to this movie.
I think Jonathan Wickeless, number two, that's not my joke. That's a joke I saw on Patreon, but I thought it was very funny. I think John Wick, colon, chapter, colon, two, colon, probably made over $200 million.
Actually, the number I have here is 171.5.
Oh, okay. So I gave it a little bump. But
based on budget of $40 million, that's a runaway hit.
And as we like to say, even if you double it for advertising, that's $80 million. Still, absolutely slaughtered. No wonder they were like, make eight more of these. Yes.
Yes, please give us more.
100%.
Give us as many Parabellums as you can. We need so many Bellums.
Yeah. Well, Bellum means war in the Latin.
We're going to talk about that in Chapter 3. we're going to get into a lot of the production stuff of John Wick, our thoughts about the movie. But if you need more John Wick, we're actually going to be answering your questions. That's right. About John Wick this week on GHL Extra over at patreon.com/Jawin. That's JWIIN. We put a post up for questions over there about John Wick. We'll be answering them directly. And it's just one of the cool things that you can get over there along with Jason and Jeremy John about Justice League, which is our Justice League review podcast, our new Film Footsteps podcast, where we talk about movies that influence our lives. We've covered Adventureland, and very soon, we're going to be getting into some Westerns. So that's six bonus podcast episodes a month if you support the Mind University. So go over there, check out the cool stuff at patreon.com/Jawin. And thank you to all the super friends that do. So let's talk about John Wickolas 2. The synopsis is, after returning to the criminal underworld to repay a debt, John Wick discovers that a large bounty has been put on his life. So, Ashley, just very briefly, in a couple of sentences, let's just summarize John Wickolas 1 in case...
Wickolas 1.
Mm-hmm.
Dude has wife.
Yes.
Wife done dies.
What, off camera.
Wife gives dude dog and car.
Off camera.
Theon Greyjoy kills dog and tries to take car. Dude reveals is secret assassin. Dude kills everybody what is not Lance Reddick.
Yes, and gets new dog at
end of
the movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess the new
and
dog.
And gets new
yeah,
pit bull
yeah,
at the
yeah,
end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So this...
With no name. He doesn't name his dog.
The dog's name is dog.
Bad dog owner.
This movie begins... Basically, it's
five
said,
seconds.
It's said to have been 7 days.
Yay.
After the original one, John Wick recovers his stolen Boss 429 Mustang, badass car, from Abram Tarasov, who is the late Vigo's brother.
We don't speak Russian or any Eastern European language, so please be generous with our pronunciations.
Also, this is going to continue a trend that Keanu Reeves is an executive producer on these movies. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that his influence grows over Chapter 2 and 3 because the actor that plays Abram Tarasov, which I don't know if you want to look that up on the Wikipedia.
Sure.
Abram Tarasov. He is the actor that also played the devil in Constantine.
Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Oh, this dude. Prison Break, yeah. Armageddon.
He's great.
22 Jump Street.
He usually plays...
Minority Report.
He usually plays generic communist Russian guy.
Yes, very much
but,
so.
But this is going to... He's setting off the trend of you're going to see actors from other Keanu movies show up in the John Wick franchise, which also leads to me that I have not seen John Wick Chapter 4 at the time of this recording, mm-hmm. but I am praying against hope, fingers crossed, that Bill himself, Alex Winter,
oh my gosh,
makes an appearance in John Wick Chapter 4.
Well, you've been saying since the second Jonathan Wickolas movie that you have wanted Carrie Ann Moss,
Trinity from The Matrix.
Yes.
To show up.
Yeah. And let me tell you, when we get to 3, I know exactly the role she ought to have taken.
I agree with you. John Wick movies, they are a big... they're more action beats than they are character beats.
They're big, dumb fun.
Yes, and they're a lot of fun. So we're going to just like get right into the discussion right now because I honestly...
What plot?
Well, there is a plot, but they are all setups for the action sequences.
Yeah, 100%.
And that makes it very difficult to talk about the movie in itself. I have a little bit of trivia for this, but I thought, Ashley, let's just get into the... let's get to the nitty gritty here of Jonathan Wickolas, chapter 2.
Sure.
What's your favorite action scene in John Wick, chapter 2? You have a choice here. There's the catacombs fight in
Europe. Oh, no, I know exactly which one it is.
There's the subway fight with Common, or there's the showdown at the Continental Hotel, or is it at the museum?
Yeah, those are all great. They're all great action pieces. Mm-hmm. But when we watched Jonathan Wickolas 2, it was kind of late, and intern Brego was sleeping on the couch, and then I started screaming about how much I liked this one scene, and it's the subway fight with Common. It's just... It's so excellent. It is so cool. It's really, really well choreographed. You can see that it is a lot of the two actors. They are really bearing the brunt of this. And Keanu, obviously very famous in this role and in The Matrix for taking on a lot of the stunts. Common, I also know, does a lot of his own physical work. So like a lot of respect for that. I love the meta narrative of being like Keanu Reeves just fights people in the subway, like carrying over from The Matrix. That is what he does. And, a cool thing that they do in all the John Wick movies, and you've also expressed that you like this about this character, is he is good with knives. And that is an atypical weapons choice for a cinematic movie. And that fight uses a lot of really good close combat techniques that you don't see in a lot of action movies. And there's a lot of good long takes in it. If that was a whole movie, I'd watch it for an hour. It's so good. How about you? Do you have a different answer?
It's the mirror room fight.
Yeah, the mirror room
fight.
Far
and away,
good.
It's the mirror room fight. And I actually have a quote here from the director, Chad Stahelski. God, I'm sorry about that last name, Chad. But please come on the podcast, you like. He says, and I quote, "The mirror room fight is one of the first ideas I had for John Wick 2. Didn't even have a story yet, but I went, yeah, we're going to redo Enter the Dragon." So this is their homage to the Bruce Lee, Mr. Han mirror fight, Enter the Dragon, which is one of the most famous fights in film history. And they basically asked, how can we do the Mirror Room better? And they're in this interview as well. They have several stories from the stunt team talking about how they had to figure, they had two problems to figure out. One, how do you hide the camera?
Yep.
And two, how do you hide one person from another person and still make it an interesting fight?
That's interesting because it also gives me very Scaramanga's fun house.
From the Man with the Golden Gun?
From the Man with the Golden Gun, which is like Roger Moore going through all the mirrors as well.
Yes. Okay, so this, you know, John Wick 1, very simple.
Yeah.
But I think the
revenge
quest. The thing that made John Wick 1 pop, I think, is the idea of this hidden underworld of the Continental. The fact that there is a hotel that is sort of like in Highlander rules as sacred ground. You cannot kill or be killed on the grounds of the Continental.
Yeah.
And they have their own currency.
Yeah.
They have their own tailors, their own food. There is this whole secret world. Now, John Wick, chapter two, really expanded the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We start learning a little bit about this thing called the High Table, which rules over the various Continentals. And we get to see a different Continental in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley, how did you feel about this expanded world building in John Wick? Do you think it improved the world of John Wick or detracted from the world of John Wick? Because again, this is the first expansion of this world.
Tough question. I admire the audacity of it, but from this movie and then three suffers from this.
Well, we're gonna get to three.
I know. There are some scenes where I'm like, that's just gibberish. Mm-hmm. And because they have picked these incredibly generic phrases, which I understand is also supposed to show us that this assassin society is really clever because they're using everyday phrases. It's coded language. It's the same way that you build a cult and you isolate cultists away from the general population. But like there were some scenes in this one where I was like, I don't know what they just said, but like I'm having a nice time waiting for the next fight to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's a mixed bag. I admire the audacity. I do think that by the end of the second movie, it's a bit of an Ouroboros. I don't know if you have different feelings or not.
It's eating its own tail.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the world building in the second one is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually really interesting. I like that there are other Continentals.
Yeah.
I like that it's...
I do too. I think that's the coolest part.
I like that it's not just in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's a smart choice to make the hotel have the same name, that it's always a Continental.
It's also a smart, to use an improv term, A to C, because Continental implies that it can exist anywhere in this world. Like, I don't know if that was intentional or just a bit of good luck.
Mm-hmm. And I even like the idea of the marker, the idea they introduced this new thing that, like, okay, if you make a promise to somebody, you put your blood thumbprint on this thing, and you have to.
You cannot deny the return
of the favor. And I appreciate that because that is, I think, a really smart way to get John Wick back into this world, because that's going to be the gag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how are you going to bring John back every single movie? Because the first movie, he avenges the puppy. He gets his car back, right? That's the entire movie.
Yeah.
But for this one, I kind of do think it's a smart idea that the whole basis of this movie is that. So this evil criminal guy basically was like, okay, you're off the hook, John. I have no problem with you. You're retired. I won't call him this marker. But then when he hears all these stories about like, oh, John Wick,
you put your toe back in.
John Wick's been running around New York for the last week, shooting people and stealing puppies left and right. okay, then I'm calling in this marker.
It's funny because you and I discussed this a little bit when we were watching the film, but I do love the idea of the gentleman mobster.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that there is this code and this way of living and this dignity to these people who are doing these horrible, horrible things, even though I don't think that exists in the real world. But it's fun for fiction.
Well, speaking of fun for fiction, we're going to find out real quick, Ashley, who was your favorite new character introduced in John Wick chapter two. We're going to find out, was it the Bowery King? Was it Cassian? Or was it the gentleman gangster you just mentioned, Santino D'Antonio? We're going to find out right after this. And we're back. Geek:History:Lesson:On John:Wick:. No subtitle intended. We're back talking about John Wick talk. Ashley, expanded world.
Yep.
Expanded characters.
Yep.
Who's your favorite new character introduced into the world of John Wick?
Okay, so there is a character who's only in one scene, and I kind of thought that they were going to appear again or appear in three. And I want to say, from a world building perspective, and sort of a mirror James Bond perspective, shame on the creators for not bringing this character back. I really do like the sommelier, who is the character played by Peter Serafinowicz. Mm-hmm. I think like he is a Q type character.
Yes.
And I love like the person behind the keyboard, that archetype. So I do like that character, but I don't feel like he's involved in it enough.
I think he's
for
my choice.
I think
he's the Roman Lance Reddick character, which is the reason why he doesn't appear in the third one.
I just really wanted him to come back. He was so good. Mm-hmm. Charon, I think, is how you pronounce Lance Reddick's name. I don't know if anyone actually says it. Mm-hmm. But it is spelled Charon. Yes. Yeah, okay. He obviously great, but existed in the first movie. I like Cassian. However, I do have to say, I think I'm going to give it to the Bowery King. I think it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Also, what I love about Lawrence Fishburne is Lawrence Fishburne came in and was like, I'm going to chew the scenery and I'm going to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And like, it is it gives me King Lear. Like, I really enjoy watching him just like screaming when he feels like screaming.
I wonder if Lawrence Fishburne has played Lear. I bet you he's played Othello.
He's played Othello in a very famous film called.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Othello. Maybe he's in both. I don't know. Now I'm worried.
Lawrence Fishburne, whose I believe first film role was in Apocalypse Now.
You're right.
As a very, very, very young soldier who loved to surf.
No, I think I got it wrong. I think he is in the 1995. He's in the Kenneth Branagh Othello. He's not in O. I apologize for everyone playing
along
at home.
So I agree with you. So one, I have to mark out, here's actually who is the best new character, uh-huh. right? And also is a shame that this person did not show up in John Wick, Parabellum. Franco Nero
is
Julius. He's the owner and manager of the Continental Hotel in Rome. If you do not know who Franco Nero is, you need to do yourself a deep film history dive. He is the original Django.
Yes, he is. He's excellent in this movie too.
And I kind of love... he's in like 10 Django movies and then he's in Django Unchained.
Yes, he is.
He is an actor that all action movies need to tip their hat in deference to because he was this guy in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think he should be in more movies because he's great.
Would you like to know his full name?
Franco Nero?
Yes.
Sure.
Francesco Clemente Giuseppe Sparaniero.
All right, cool.
Excellent.
Good.
He's 81.
Good for him.
Good for him.
He's got another 10 years in him, right?
Oh, on screen at least of life, maybe 25, who can say?
Yeah. He was a great choice for the Italian Continental. Yeah. But I agree with you. It is the Bowery King. I actually think the most fascinating expansion of this world is the Bowery.
And is the Baker Street irregulars of it all?
Yes, the idea that they're all unhoused people, like homeless people, and they're the secret spy network of it all. But at the same time, the Bowery, I'm going to put a pin in this, and please remind me of this, Ashley. The Bowery is a huge problem of where I think this franchise kind of falls apart in three.
Yeah.
Because they're the most interesting part of two.
Yeah.
And I think they make plot problems in three.
They get
three.
A little big for their britches in three, dare I say.
So, let's talk about this. The first movie is basically John Wick in New York.
Yeah.
Do you like that this was basically John Wick in Europe?
100%. Yes, I do. And it's mostly Rome. I do. I think it's a smart way also to sort of the comparisons to James Bond just beg to be made, right? To echo that idea of like every movie is a different locale. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that action adventure movies can do really well. It's a little harder to do in like a straight up drama. And I like seeing this was something that I think other genre franchises have done to various degrees of success. I like expanding the world by showing us another culture's take on it. So even though like North American society and European society are very much like cousins of each other, they're not that different. There are different ways that these worlds operate. And I hope that we see the one in Tokyo and I hope that we see the one in Lagos and like all, I hope we go all over the world for every subsequent John Wick movie until Keanu Reeves has like broken his knees too many times and can't do it anymore.
Do you think Crocodile Dundee himself, Paul Hogan, is the owner and manager of the Australian Continental?
I'm gonna say he's not the owner, because of course the owner of that is Miss Nicola Scott.
Comic book artist Nicola Scott.
She sits at her giant tower, not unlike the dude from Deadwood, and she draws Wonder Woman on the top of their Continental.
She's the secret power, but is Paul Hogan Crocodile Dundee the head of the Australian Continental?
You know, isn't it funny that he's one of the less problematic Australian actors I can pull off the top of my head?
Because your other choice is Russell Crowe.
Well, or Mel Gibson. Yes. So like, no and no. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Paul Hogan.
I think Crocodile Dundee should be the head of the Continental.
I mean, I guess it's him or Nicole Kidman at this point.
Speaking of Continentals.
In this place,
we have to talk about the big ending.
Yeah.
Now, John Wick 2 takes a big twist, because eventually John just gets really mad. He walks into the New York Continental and he shoots San Antonio.
Ricardo Scamarcio, who plays this part, the Italian actor, doesn't have a lot to do, but I think holds it down and does a really good job.
He does a good job as a scumbag. Yeah, he does a really good job.
Absolutely.
He shoots him, and it leads to this amazing Indian Central Park where basically Winston, played by the amazing Ian McShane from Deadwood,
his name earlier, I'm sorry, and Game of Thrones,
excommunicates him. So it means that John can no longer use any Continental. He's no longer part of any of this business. He's no longer
no protections.
What were you surprised by this twist?
No.
Of the ending?
No, because I've seen this is a trope.
Mm-hmm.
I think 24 did this every season it was on the air. I think James Bond has done this in almost every single movie. I think Mission Impossible has done this. I think Luther done this.
Tom Cruise goes rogue like every Mission Impossible movie.
I'm sure Sherlock has done some version of this before. No, I wasn't surprised. I think this is a logical conclusion for this type of storytelling. What's going to be interesting is when we get into John Wick's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm being set up again. Like, you know, how you keep that drama going to thrust into an action movie.
So let's answer this.
Yeah.
Was John Wick Chapter 2 better or worse than John Wick 1?
John Wick Chapter 2 is objectively worse than John Wick Chapter 1. The story is just not as strong because we don't have the emotional kick of the wife and the puppy dog. Mm-hmm. However, I went into John Wick 1 not wanting to see it, and also with a lot of people telling me it was going to blow my socks off. And so it didn't. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like fairly lukewarm to positive in our episode on it. This movie I thought was going to be really bad. Mm-hmm. And so I had a great time watching it because it's not that bad. But it is a step down from one in terms of overall storytelling. I think so. But I had a great time and I would watch it again.
It is a step down.
Yeah.
But not that much of a step.
No, and the fights are truly great. They are fun to watch.
Like, I actually had a good time watching this one again.
Yeah.
Final question here for John Wick 2. If you could add any celebrity cameo to John Wick Chapter 2, besides the ones we've already mentioned, who would you throw in there?
I mean, Daniel Craig is the lazy choice.
For what part?
Oh, do I have to give them a specific part?
Oh, where would you have put Daniel Craig in this movie?
I literally would have made Daniel Craig not even Cassian, but like another goon that he had to fight. My other lazy...
No, I apologize for like being like, write the story to John Wick 2 now. But I'm just curious, like, where in the movie?
My other lazy choice is when he goes to Rome, I would have had maybe Idris Elba show up as an ally for someone at the Continental there. Like, he's another sort of off the top of my head lazy choice. Do you have any picks?
Javier Bardem as San Antonio.
He'd be good.
Santino Dan Antonio.
Santino, yeah.
Or I would have stunt cast the sister.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I actually expected the sister to be stunt cast because there is some stunt casting in some of the supporting goons that, you know, I didn't necessarily think was all that, so. I expected the sister, Gianna D'Antonio, who is played by Claudia Guarini, who I think Claudia Guarini does a very, very good job in this part. I actually think her death scene manages to be both sexy and compelling, which is saying quite something for a scene where a character's life ends. But I'm surprised that we didn't get a stunt casting on that. So I understand what you mean by saying that would have been where your expectation would be.
Yes. All right. So here is some of the trivia of the movie, of John Wick Chapter 2. Keanu Reeves performed 95% of the film's stunt himself. The only ones he didn't do are the one where John Wick gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And the one that you talked about in Rome, where him and Cassian go down
Roll down the stairs.
Those are the only two stunts in the movies that he did not perform himself.
You know, how did they decide that that's 95%? Who's out here making these statistics?
This is from IMDb trivia. This is the first time that Lawrence Fishburne and Keanu Reeves have worked together since The Matrix Revolutions in 2003. This film begins less than a week after the events of John Wick. In this movie, you learn that John Wick's true name is Jardani Jovanović. Jovan is the Serbian Hebrew form of the name John. His last name means son of John. Jardani is from the Hebrew, which means of the garden. And as seen in this film, one of his stashes is kept as at an Orthodox Jewish establishment.
Pan-Asian Keanu Reeves playing a Russian. I live for it.
Yes. And also, the museum sequence was filmed at the Rome Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art, which is standing in for the New York
Minute.
Many of the paintings that you see in the film are duplicates of the real ones because they were
just in case anything happened.
They put all the real ones in it, but they duplicated all the paintings.
Yeah,
which I think is really good. And also, part of the big action sequence that sees John Wick encountering numerous assassins on the train was shot at the Path Center in Freedom Tower in New York City.
Oh yes, and you pointed that out when we watched it.
Yes, and this was apparently the very first film to ever shoot there.
Wow, that's cool.
So,
love that cold white aesthetic.
Also, here we go. We're going to do this for both movies.
Oh boy.
The body count in this movie. Actually, how many people do you think John Wick kills in this movie?
Okay, can I ask for just a little bit of context?
Okay.
Is it more than 50 or is it less than 50?
It's more than 50.
Okay.
And that is as much as I'm going to give you.
Yeah, that's 102.
You're not far off. The body count is 116.
Oh my God.
He kills 116 people.
Do you think the Duttons have killed more people than that?
Haven't they killed like 85 people in five seasons or something like that?
86, I think.
It's probably higher than that now, but also in the future. Anyways, all right. So now it's time to move into John Wick : Chapter 2 - Parabellum.
No, Chapter 3.
Did I say Chapter 3? Mm-hmm. Yes. So John Wick : Chapter 3 - Parabellum, or simply John Wick : Chapter 3. That's it.
Okay, now I want to ask you, we're in Linguistics Corner. Do you know what parabellum means?
We'll get to it, Ashley. Stop spoiling the lesson for the rest of our listeners.
Okay, great.
So, quick synopsis. John Wick is now on the run after killing a member of the International Assassins Guild. And with a $14 million price tag on his head, he is the target of hitmen and women everywhere. This, of course, was still directed by Chad Stahelski. But this screenplay has changed. It now has a screenplay by Derek Kolstad, writer of the first two, Shay Hatton, Chris Collins, and Mark Abrams. There are four writers in this movie.
Wow.
Story was still by Derek Kolstad. Now, I could not find any information why different writers hopped onto this. I would assume, this is just me speaking into the air, that Derek Kolstad probably did the first draft and then was probably busy working on some other project and could not do the rewrites.
Yep, which is very typical, very common.
Very typical.
Doesn't mean anything.
But also might show why this movie feels a bit rough around the edges compared to some of the other movies. This was released in May of 2019, had a budget of $75 million. Ashley, do you want to guess the budget? So again, the first movie, John Wick 2, was $40 million. They got $35 million more dollars. What do you think the box office of John Wick Chapter 3 was? Now, John Wick Chapter 2, $171 million. Was the box office.
I'm going to say $225 million.
Go higher.
$317 million.
Close. You're very close. $327 million.
Wow. Okay.
So John Wick Chapter 3 tripled its budget.
Wow. Runaway. Absolutely. Well, I know the first John Wick, and I'm sure we discussed this whenever we did the other one, 150 some episodes ago. I know John Wick got a lot of its life after its initial theatrical release. So
it sort of became a hit on streaming and everybody being like, how did we not watch this movie?
And sometimes the marketing just isn't correct for the film. That happens a lot.
I also could not find any information on this, but and this could be my bad memory as well. I really remember before John Wick Chapter 3 came out, them talking about that this was going to be the final one. Now, I have always thought that the ending of John Wick Chapter 3 was a reshoot.
Oh, and, interesting.
And I have always thought that they had planned to actually end the series with three. And then I think when they probably got some of the early boxes, because they always do testing, I think when they were finding out that they were like, oh no, everybody is going to go see this movie because now everybody knows what John Wick is. I think, I want to say they read, for me, again, I could be making this all up. It could be completely false. Chad Stahelski, please email us.
Okay, so after the cursoriest of Google searches, according to MovieWeb,
yes,
Chad Stahelski stated that, and they don't have a quote here, they just say according to director, that the series would have ended after John Wick 3 Parabellum and never resolved as cliffhanger conclusion.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so
Again, this is just me. This is like the fastest Google search I could manage.
So they were like, we're gonna play this like a Bond movie. We're gonna put a cliffhanger at every end of every movie, and if we never pay it off, we never pay it off.
I'm betting they signed Keanu for one with the possibility of extending for two and three.
And then when three was the runaway hit,
then they had to go and renegotiate the contract. Would be my guess off the top of my head.
Well, because also I don't know if there is any information on this. Ashley, do a quick Google John Wick Chapter 5, because
yes.
I see no way that we don't get John Wick Chapter 5.
I believe they are greenlit through, because Chapter 5 is already on IMDb. I believe they are greenlit through 4 and 5.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's talk about John Wick Chapter 3, which of course starts, I think the beginning of this movie is fantastic, because it is just 20 minutes of an action sequence of Keanu running through rainy New York and random people just beating the hell out of him.
Okay, so two thoughts. One, this is also like 5 minutes after the second one. So John Wick has had a really hard 21 days at max. Yep. Yeah, really, 3 weeks tops.
It's a rough 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just having the absolute snot beat out of him. Two, John Wick as a franchise, we talk a lot about how films have either green and orange or red and orange palettes. I like that John Wick commits to the bisexual lighting pattern of pinks and blues. Mm-hmm. And this opening sequence does a lot with pinks in New York. And New York always looks better shot in the rain. It's a very cool beginning to this movie.
Okay, we always got to talk about new characters. And this one got a bunch of... Okay, so this one is the Casablanca John Wick. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time in New York, and then he goes to Casablanca. And he's in Casablanca for quite a long time. So I want to ask you, Ashley, we got new characters. Who is your new favorite character in John Wick Chapter 3? Was it Sophia, played by Halle Berry?
Absolutely
was it the Adjudicator, played by your favorite actress of all time?
Asia K. Dillon.
Or was it the Elder, played by Samir from Wonder Woman?
You know, I do like, his name is Syed Tagmaoui. Apologies if I mispronounced it. I do like him a lot. I think he was really good. There's another cameo that I enjoyed from Randall Duck Kim, but he's only in plays a doctor, aka the key maker.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk a little bit about him. Yeah.
He's not super heavily involved. Honestly, I think in terms of the story, I think the Elder is probably the best new character, but I think a lot of us also enjoyed the Jason Mantzoukas TikTok Man cameo as well.
Oh, TikTok Man. Yeah.
Again, that's what he's credited as in
Well, because when he first he goes TikTok, Mr. Wick. And again, there is a funny piece of trivia that I don't think I included in this, that Jason Mantzoukas apparently on his own podcast, How Did This Get Made? He apparently, they did Johnny Mnemonic apparently somewhere between John Wick 1 and John Wick 2. And he said that he was like, man, I would give anything to be in a John Wick movie. And now he's in a John Wick movie.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if he shows up in Chapter 4.
Interesting.
So I'm going to throw out the stealth best character here, Mark Dacascos, who is the fanboy John Wick evil guy who's the chef who loves
Zero.
The cat.
His name is Zero.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. How did they ever said it in the movie?
I'm going to say they don't say most of these characters' names in the movie.
Anyways, Mark Dacascos is a badass.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I always thought for years that he was the monk trainer from Kill Bill, but I got him mixed up with Gordon Liu.
It's the eyebrows. They have very similar eyebrows.
Similar. Yeah. They're very threatening eyebrows. But Mark Dacascos, I really kind of liked that he is like ultimate John Wick fanboy.
Throughout this.
And then also there's the two gentlemen from the raid that are in this fight as well. And they
That's the best fight though.
Yes. So he is my new favorite character. We also got to talk about new favorite characters. Ashley, this movie, John Wick Chapter 3, had a lot of dog fights. More dogs. German Shepherd dogs.
Yeah.
What did you think about this? About them deciding to, they were going to like, cheers, we are going to do quote unquote dogfights in this movie.
I do not like dogfights, mm-hmm. Narratively or in real life. I did not enjoy the inclusion of them. I completely understand, just the same way that I understand giving Sophia her little arc with the dog. I don't care for Sophia's character, and the longer she stayed in the movie, the more unhappy I was, because it felt like a redux of the first movie. I understand the will to have a dog present more without having him fly dog all over the world. I think for me, it was a swing and a miss, largely. But I appreciate that there was thought. I appreciate the thought. I did not love it in execution.
I agree. I always get confused because there one of the dogs dies, but then there's two dogs. I don't know. Yeah. I always get confused by that. I was like, how many dogs are there? Are there three or are there two? Are there three, two?
Yeah.
Two, three.
Yeah.
Three?
Does her dog die? It's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
Because there's like four or five German Shepherds, yeah.
Okay, so like John Wick, we're always talking about the action sequences, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the best action sequence in John Wick Chapter 3? Is it the motorcycle chase? Is it like the giant chase through New York with all the knives, that like the never-ending one? Or is it the big old shootout in the Continental?
Okay, the shootout in the Continental is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is it even the dogfight in Casablanca?
It's not the dogfight. Mm-hmm. The taking of the Continental is like an epic, excellent mm-hmm. sequence. I mean, but the best is like they literally like ape the scene from The Raid, and mm-hmm. then they get the two guys from it's the knife.
You're talking about the knife
museum.
Mirror fight?
Yeah.
Well, that's in the Continental, even though it's like this glass museum that you can tell is obviously only built for this fight.
100%. There are moments of comedy in this fight where John Wick and the dude that he's fighting against both like look over their shoulders and then look back at each other and then break and then get the knives and they fight. John Wick gets to do some like pretty, like he stabs a dude like right in his skull have to see him earn it. Like it's rough.
One of my favorite moments is in the mirror fight. It is another mirror fight. The glass Continental fight at the end, where the two gentlemen from The Raid, they knock John Wick on the ground.
Yeah.
And then they like bow to him and they give him a hand up.
Yeah.
And then they fight. They keep fighting again.
Yeah.
But I also love that he doesn't kill them.
Nope.
Yeah.
Because they showed deference mm-hmm. and respect.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's hands down. Like for me, it's like the subway fight. Like there's a lot of excellent action, but those two moments are like far and away some of the coolest moments in the whole franchise.
For me, I think I have to give it to the motorcycle fight.
Interesting.
Because I just love the way that it's filmed.
Yeah.
And even though I can tell that there is some CGI like
enhancements, of course.
Yeah. Just the way the camera's wrapping around Keanu and stuff like that, you can sort of tell that there's sort of like some CGI zooms in there mm-hmm. and stuff. But it overall looks so rad. And motorcycle fights, because of the whole Yakuza of it all and the very Japanese nature of it all.
The Akira of it all, dare I say.
That's exactly right. The Akira of
it
all.
And he was attached to Akira for a long time.
I think we've seen a lot of bad motorcycle action fights instead of good ones.
Yeah.
And this to me is a good one.
I agree.
Because there's a lot of it where I'm always like, why? Your hands are off the handlebars.
Yeah.
You would die.
Yeah.
And I think with John Wick, they do a really good job. And this is one of the things why I think John Wick is so popular, is because at no point is my believability suspended by, do I think John Wick can do this thing?
Yeah.
I totally think he can drive that motorcycle.
With no hands.
No, he always has. If you watch the fight, he changes the weapon all the time. Mm. And that's why I think he keeps moving his weapon from left to right to like attack these guys. And then he always has the hand, because you need a hand on the handlebars. Come on.
Something else I like about the franchise as a whole is that they let him get tired.
Yes.
Like he is just a human being. Obviously he's a human being with like abilities beyond our perception or whatever, but like he gets tired and the fights get harder and he gets sloppier, and that's just good storytelling.
Yes. All right. So after, we're going to find out really quickly here, what celebrity? Maybe it's Art Carney. Maybe.
Art Carney alive?
I don't think so. Maybe it's Dick Van Dyke. If you don't know who Art Carney is, go Google it. But what celebrity did Ashley most want to see in John Wick Chapter 3? Is it Art Carney? We're going to find out after this. Welcome back to Art Carney Talk here on Geek History Lesson, or should we call it
Art History Lesson?
Art History Lesson.
Wow.
There it is. Okay, John Wick Chapter 3.
Yeah.
You know, we got Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
His goodness in there, and you know, other characters and stuff like that. Ashley, I asked you about the John Wick Chapter 2. What celebrity would you have wanted to have seen in this movie? That is not in this movie.
I mean, Carrie Ann Moss, like the adjudicator is written to be Carrie Ann
Moss. Bingo! I was just about to say that, Ashley. I was just about to say, like, I'm going to call a mulligan here and say, we need to recast the adjudicator. It needs to be Carrie Ann Moss.
And I want to say, like, Asia Kate Dillon, they are making a very specific choice with their portrayal of the adjudicator.
But isn't it weird that she doesn't fight him? It feels weird that she doesn't fight him.
It does.
Because it seems like they're setting her up to be the fist fighty final villain.
I just think Carrie Ann Moss is...
She seems like she's the boss fight.
Is a stronger actor. And obviously, like, it's a nostalgia thing playing on The Matrix. My other stealth recast of this, and I think it's also because Asia Kate Dillon, they are much younger than Keanu Reeves, and I am more interested in seeing Keanu Reeves, like with Daniel Craig and James Bond, fighting somebody of a similar age bracket. Who I think would have been a fun casting for the adjudicator, and I think would have at the time, not anymore, been within the budget of this movie, is Michelle Yeoh.
So I was literally, Michelle Yeoh's a great choice. I was literally Googling the internet as we were talking.
I was Googling the internet.
just leave me be. trying to figure out why Carrie Ann Moss is not in these movies. Yes. Because I figure with all the Matrix Resurrections and stuff like that, somebody would have had to have asked them. And
one hopes is because she's booked and blessed.
Well, also maybe she doesn't want to do fight movies anymore.
100%. You know? Yeah.
So apparently during an interview for the Matrix Resurrection, she was asked this question. They have not worked together since the Matrix Resurrections. Before that, something like that. I'm reading the article
and scrolling and talking. Yes. At the same time,
she was speaking with People magazine about the Matrix Resurrections, and she was asked about her favorite Keanu role, and she explained that she loves John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she was asked, would you like to play an assassin in one of the John Wick films, and she says, I would love to. And Keanu apparently, it was in that same interview, and said, be careful what you wish for, because the training is hell. She goes, I'd love to play an assassin. So I wonder, here's the question here, and we don't know. Is she in Chapter 4 and they've kept it quiet?
Okay, I would say probably yes.
Yeah.
Assuming that they had they didn't like come to blows on the set of Matrix Resurrections or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would do, because the easy thing to do is to give her a role like the adjudicator or some assassin. Wouldn't it be more interesting, and wouldn't it be more in line with Neo and Trinity to make her his new love interest? Because if we actually jump some time, The most interesting thing to do is have John Wick move past the death of his wife.
Yeah, but John Wick movies aren't really love movies, so I don't see the time for that. Like to me the basis of, if you're gonna put Carrie Ann Moss in this movie,
yeah,
the only reason to do it is to have her fight him,
yeah,
or to have her fight with him.
Yeah.
You know, that is how you recreate the Matrix. So I'm going to put it out here. I hope she's in 4, and I hope she's Winston's daughter.
It's more interesting, I think, if they have to fight each other, because we've already seen the BLIs. Yes. Like, do something different. That's why I was like, maybe the love interest, like, do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I appreciate that Lawrence Fishburne doesn't come into this movie to be his mentor.
Okay, so let's talk about where I think John Wick 3 falls apart.
Okay.
The addition of the elder and the high table and the adjudicator.
I 100% agree.
So there's a murder on continental grounds,
yeah,
right? Sacred ground. So this adjudicator from the high table, who's apparently in charge of all these things, shows up.
We've never heard of before. We've never heard really reference
it's fine.
Before, but yes.
And then they're coming after John Wick, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
So John Wick's plan is, like, I'm going to go to Morocco because I know the high table is somewhere in Morocco.
Yeah.
And he meets this other gentleman who plays Bronn from Game of Thrones, and he tells him, walk into the desert until you die, and somehow the elder will find you.
Yes.
How does that work? I have no clue, but that's exactly what happens. And then he wakes up in a tent and he meets the elder, who is supposedly a brand new character we have never been told about before.
By the way, Jerome Flynn is Bronn.
Jerome Flynn,
yes.
Who is above the high table.
Yeah.
And in their meeting, he says, swear your loyalty to me forever, and basically you'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
But you'll have to work for the high table for the rest. There is no more retirement.
Yeah.
So he does. He chops off his wedding finger and he does it. But then the minute he gets back to the New York hotel, Winston has a few words with him, and he immediately flips. And then there's the other problem of the Bowery. And the way the Bowery was set up in John Wick 2 is that it felt like it was independent of that system. You
a separate but involved third party. Yes.
You got the sense that because Lawrence Fishburne tells the story in John Wick 2 that he was like, John Wick cut him in the throat but left him alive.
Which we saw him do actually earlier in that same movie to someone.
And it made you think that you're like, okay, so that was the incident that made Lawrence Fishburne be like, I got to get out of this game.
Yeah.
Or there's a new way.
Yeah.
And so that's why he created the Bowery.
Yeah.
And so the Bowery was sort of this like third party that is sort of like, the high table is kind of like, well, we don't really like you, but like, we're not going
to
like,
but you haven't given us reason to kill you.
Bingo. Yeah. And in this movie, they kind of come in and they basically say like, no, you're under us.
Yeah.
Which comes out of nowhere.
Okay. I have to say the problem with this movie is literally they talk too much.
Okay.
I said this when we were watching it. There are so many scenes that just stop and they talk for 5 minutes and it is almost gibberish. It takes
because it's all about the high table and the elder and the elder and the high table.
And I'm like, I understand you are borrowing the structure from Arthurian Ledge. Like, I understand it, but there are three times as many lines of dialogue in this movie as there are in John Wick 2.
Yes.
Do I think John Wick 2 could have maybe used a little bit more dialogue? Probably, but this is such an overcorrection because what they've done in 3 is they've doubled down on the mythology instead of
the action.
Instead of stepping up the action. And I think that is where it gets lost because the Ouroboros, it's not even eating the tip of its tail now. Half its body is in its own mouth right now.
I think you're right. John Wick 2, it doesn't go very long before it gives you another action sequence. And in this, the middle, all the Morocco stuff just dead stops the movie.
Well, and all of these characters just like talk for a very long... Yep. So like in 1 and 2, it'll be like Keanu Reeves and Lance Reddick, and they'll say maybe 5 lines to each other, and then the scene moves on, whether it's another talking scene or another action scene. Here, Angelica Houston talks for 3 solid minutes, and Keanu says nothing back to her, and Asia Kate Dillon is the same, talks to Lawrence Fishburne for 5 minutes, and then Lawrence Fishburne yells for 5 minutes, and then you're like, it has been 10 minutes, and nobody's hitting each other.
I think the other problem with John Wick 3 is that it divides the focus from John Wick.
100%.
Because we see these B stories with the adjudicator going to the Bowery.
Which do we
going
really
to Winston.
Need?
Yeah, I don't think we needed those. Yeah. I think we could have just stuck with John Wick.
I agree.
Because that's what the movie is called. And we didn't really get that in John Wick 2.
Yeah.
We see Winston and the Continental when we need to see them.
Exactly.
I think it would have been stronger if he came back to New York, walked into the Continental, and who is the adjudicator? Please help me.
Asia Kate Dillon.
Asia Kate Dillon is just in charge.
Yes. That would have been fine.
And then he has to figure out, or that he went to the Bowery and somebody, Jason Mantzoukas was in charge.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would have been more interesting than us seeing these. I totally agree with you.
Like, and dare I say we have too much information now?
It's too much information. And we get lost for that. So, okay. So we got it. We asked this last time. Ashley, John Wick Chapter 3.
Yep.
Where does it rank in the 3 John Wick movies?
The 3 John Wick movies are really nice because it goes 1, 2, 3. This is definitely
I agree.
The worst of the batch. I fell asleep twice watching it. But when it's good... It's very good. Like, the great moments are on par with the great moments in 2 and 3. Unfortunately, the lows are just lower. That being said, would I watch it again? Probably.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I have some fun IMDb trivia from you for this one.
Yay!
Early on in the opening sequence, John Wick finds himself in a room filled with revolvers from the 19th century. Desperately, he swaps parts of the revolvers and listen to the mechanisms. This is an homage to a scene from my favorite film of all time, 1966, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, when Tuco is assembling a revolver to suit his tastes. And if you notice how Keanu plays it, he does it exactly the same way that Eli Wallach does.
You said that you were, and it's shot the same way as well.
The title Parabellum comes from the Latin phrase "Si vis pacem," pacem, P-A-C-E-M. Help me out, Latin student.
Si vis.
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 No, vis. Like, the V makes a W sound. So it's si vis.
I'm a dumb American. Pacem. Just help me out, please.
Parabellum.
Okay. Which means if you want peace, prepare for war.
So it means prepare for war,
yes.
Parabellum.
The phrase itself appears 3 times in the movie. It is tattooed on the back of a ballerina girl in the beginning. It appears on the door of a bus outside the hotel, and Winston says it out loud at the end.
Parabellum is also a type of semi-automatic pistol or machine gun. So I'm sure we also see several parabellums throughout the film as well.
There were 5 different dogs who portrayed Sophia's 3 dogs. So there's the answer. There's 3 dogs. dogs. They were trained by Andrew Simpson, who trained the direwolves for Game of Thrones. The film reunites former Matrix cast members Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Tiger Hen Chen, and Randall Duck Kim. John Wick trilogy director Chad Stahelski served as the martial arts stunt coordinator for the Matrix trilogy. So actually that means five cast members. Tiger Hu Chen does stunts. He did stunts for the Matrix and for this. And Randall Duck Kim was the key maker in the Matrix, and he's the doctor in this one.
I really like his scene with Keanu, actually.
Yes. Also, we might have mentioned this in John Wick 1. I just want to put it down. Chad Stahelski was Keanu Reeves' stunt double in the Matrix trilogy.
Is he the guy who shows up in Resurrections?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. Probably, maybe. I don't know for certain. I don't know exactly who you're referring to. So.
Oh, I thought in Matrix whatever the new one is called. What's the new one called?
I resurrect. Who cares?
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Also, fun fact, if for any of our font nerds out there, the subtitles are sent in variants of Square Sans Serif 7-point font. There you go.
Yeah, I know you really like the subtitles.
And I do.
My hot take is I don't like them. Yes, yeah, so I was right. Chad Stahelski plays Trinity's husband in the new Matrix movie.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I meant. I apologize.
And he's called Chad.
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, yeah.
And they did that. I remember they did that specifically because he was Neo's stunt
doubling
devil.
Doubling him, yeah.
They thought it was funny that in the new Matrix, she married his stunt double.
No, it is funny. It's very funny.
all right, Ashley, we're to the time that everybody cares about.
This time.
John Wick's Chapter 3 - Parabellum. How many kills did John Wick perform in this movie? And do you think it's higher or lower? For John Wick Chapter 2, it was 116. So how many people?
I think it's lower.
Okay. What's the number?
87.
You're not far off. It's 94.
Ooh, okay.
So it is lower, yes. Okay. Let's get this really out. Ashley, what is the best scene of either Chapter 2 or Chapter 3? You can pick from either movie. What's the best scene? What's your favorite moment from these two sequels?
The subway fight.
Why?
It's just so cool and it's so well done. I honestly think we could have had more Cassian and more Common in 2.
Well, he still could be alive.
That's my other thing.
Yeah, yeah. He tells them not to pull the knife.
He does. And you don't...
We don't see him in 3.
By comic book logic...
Yeah.
He can, by action movie logic, by James Bond logic, he could still be alive. I would love for him to come back and be like an ally of John Wick.
Yeah, sure.
I would really love to see that. I do like the dynamic of the grudging respect between two colleagues.
Uh-huh.
Here's my hot take. I think Common out-acts Keanu Reeves in their scenes together.
Okay.
I think he's trying hard. I don't think by 3, I don't think Keanu Reeves is trying super hard on the acting front.
He's probably worried about executive producing all these scenes.
I think,
and remembering his marks.
I think his performance as John Wick from an actorly perspective peaks at 1.
Look, I think his acting is breathtaking. I'm just going to say that.
I think it's solid. but I think I just love everything about the subway scene. I think it's really well done. I think it's really intelligent. I wish superhero fights would take note of things like this.
So my favorite scene in both these movies.
You're going to have some great, smart, writerly choice for this.
It's the ending of 2.
Oh, interesting.
It's the Central Scene Park because it's his movie dad, Winston, telling him that he's out of the club.
Yeah. And then
I think no moment in either 2 movies beats the scene where he's walking out of Central Park.
Yeah.
And then all the phones start ringing and they start looking at him and he starts like picking up the pace and being like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. Nothing. And I think that's maybe a reason why I'm a little disappointed in 3 because like that ending, I think is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cinematic. It's so dramatic. It's so compelling that the follow-up doesn't beat it.
So fun fact, where that scene starts, where they're in the like sort of rotunda area by the river, that is the place in Central Park where when I'm in town for New York Comic Con, I like to sit and journal there. I find it very, very peaceful.
I mean, there's that scene from Doctor Who where Rory gets kidnapped from the angels underneath that archway.
I know, but I just think of that as being like this lovely, beautiful part of Central Park.
I've never been to that part of Central Park. I've been to Central Park. Never been to that park.
Well, next time you're in town, we'll go.
There you go. I just go to Strawberry Fields, and then I look at the...
It's really close to Strawberry Fields. It's walking distance.
How did I miss it? And then I waved the Dakota, thinking that Yoko's still up there.
Yeah.
You're going. That's some Beatles talk for you. All right, real quick, let's get through... what do you think is the legacy of John Wick 2 and 3? And then I want to hear your real quick ratings out of a scale of 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. Yeah. Give me your rating for 2. Give me your rating for 3.
The legacy of John Wick 2 and 3 are setting this up to be a major franchise that I think could be on par with Mission Impossible.
They're still working
James
on
Bond.
The spinoff TV show, too.
Yeah, 100%. Ooh, yeah.
That's not good.
The less said about that, the better. I think they're cementing the legacy of this little film that could. And I think it's really incredible what they've accomplished, whether or not it's all 100% to my taste or not. And, you know, I'm interested in how long Keanu is going to stay a part of the franchise. And I'll be very interested to see when he will inevitably
or how they decide
away.
To spend it off.
100%. I'm very interested in that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts?
What are your quick ratings?
Oh, quick ratings. Okay.
Chapter two,
I'm going to give it 3.5 Bragos out of 5.
Oh, okay.
Chapter 3, I am going to give 3 Bragos out of 5.
Oh, very generous.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. How about you?
I agree with you. I think the sequels cement John Wick's sort of
place in pop
pedestal
culture.
In
yeah,
pop culture.
Yeah.
And I think it puts him on a pedestal with like Conan the Barbarian, RoboCop, Jurassic Park. It has made him that like, I think 20 years from now, we will still be like, oh, John Wick.
Yeah.
You know, and I am like you, I am interested to see, like, because again, if Fast and the Furious is any 100%. Indicator, we might get 10 John Wick movies.
But it's also the difference between like Keanu Reeves is not 21 playing John Wick for the first time.
How old is Keanu Reeves? Give us a quick
Google,
please.
I'm going to say he's 51.
I think he's 55.
Wow. Oh, we're both so wrong. Keanu Reeves is 58.
Oh!
Holy swear words.
Keanu Reeves is almost 60.
Looks... honestly, better than I give him credit.
And he's the almost 60-year-old that I guarantee you I know could kick my ass. Okay.
Oh yeah, I would not want to face him.
So that's my legacy. I think he has made a platform in pop culture and well deserved. I think John Wick 2, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
John Wick 3, 2 out of 5.
Wow.
Big drop. Big drop. Yeah. All right. Of course, our recommended reading, everybody, it's going to just be the John Wick movies and various John Wick books and comics and whatever. And go check that over at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended
reading. All the comics and all the movies will be there. There's not that much to grab.
There's not much. Go watch them all. But now we're going into the honor roll, where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you give us a 5-star review, we will give you a shout out on the air for showing us some love. So, Ashley, who is joining the Teacher's Lounge this week?
Shards of Narsil von Nine Realms. Wow.
Say that again.
Shards of Narsil von Nine Realms. So Shards of Narsil from the Nine Realms. I love you for that name.
That's a Lord of the Rings reference, right?
Says, yes, the Shards of Narsil.
Okay.
Which are then forged into Anduril the Flame.
I just don't think that franchise is as big as John Wick, so I'm sorry. forgive me for not knowing
Tolkien
that.
Tolkien is going to rise from his grave, walk to Los Angeles, California, and throttle you in your sleep for that.
I hope so. I look forward to meeting Mr. Tolkien.
Says, my absolute favorite podcast. You ask if listeners listen to podcasts with their pets? The answer is yes. Oh, we got dog content.
Oh, yeah.
My German Shepherd, Narsil, and I listen to every one of your podcasts, and we love them all.
Narsil. Wait. Narsil. Good boy.
Girl.
Good boy. Good girl. Oh, sorry.
You didn't get to the pronouns.
Sorry. Narsil. Good girl. Good. I'll just say Narsil. Good dog. Good dog. Narsil. Narsil. Sit. Roll over. Fetch. Kill John Wick. Good dog.
Although she and I are certainly partial to the Lord of the Rings episodes, I drive a lot as a police dog and a service dog trainer. That is so cool.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And your podcast helps to fill the time. Thank you for an awesome podcast. Okay. Shards of Narsil, Fun Nine Realms, geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. Will you send us a picture of Narsil? Will you send us a picture?
Geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. Send us a picture. Thank you for that shout out. We'll share it on our socials.
Yes, we sure will.
That's really cool.
And they are also joined.
It's kind of perfect that it fell in the John Wick episode, actually.
Look, that is, I want to tell you I planned this. I did not.
I know they're big into Lord of the Rings. I hope they listen to this.
So do I.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I hope that for, we have a bad habit of picking people saying do more Marvel for DC episodes. And I'm always like, I hope you hear this one.
I hope they do.
They are also joined by Intense Boat, who says geek stuff for geeks who aren't annoying.
Okay,
so honestly, I've tried listening to other geek nerd fandom-based podcasts, and sorry, not sorry, but a lot of it is bad dudes being gatekeepy and annoying. But GHL is fun to listen to, and I don't feel like I'm being talked down to or that they'd ask me to name my top three DC villains if they saw me at a con. Great work. Keep it up. So
I can
you.
Almost promise you, you can meet, we're going to, you know, also I should shout out.
Yeah. You can meet both of us at two different cons coming up pretty soon, actually.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. I will never ask you to meet your cons. We should, I completely forgot about that. We should probably promote that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
We'll say it here. I'm going to be actually at GalaxyCon in Richmond, Virginia.
For our East Coast students.
Yeah, on March 24th to the 26th. I will have a table there. I will be moderating a lot of panels. I'm actually doing a podcast panel. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come look. And then Ashley, that same very weekend, yeah, is going to be at WonderCon.
Uh-huh.
In Anaheim,
California.
So we're.
And I'm flying solo, so come say hi to me. I'll be lonely.
Yeah. So Ashley is welcome to come meet any of the Mind University students
on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, and I will meet all the Mind University students on the East Coast. I'll have a table, so yeah. I'll be a little bit. I will have geekish lesson pins.
Yes.
And I will have some of our books and stuff like that. So come check that out. And we'd love to meet you all. But I will never ask you to support your villains or stuff.
What I will
I
say.
I think this comes out that week.
I think it
did a bad job about this.
I will say the thing that we usually do ask people at cons is what made you start listening? Because that's the thing we're most fascinated by. So I love it when people include that or when they let us know, like listening while you're driving or working or at university and stuff like that. So thank you, Intense Boat. Thank you, Shards of Narsil, Fun Nine Realms, for your 5-star reviews. Professor Jason, what's going on in the teacher's lounge
today? Well, you're lucky because Professor Jardani Janovic is in the corner and he's ready to teach gun food to everybody. He said he will only teach it to the teachers, but because you just got into the teacher's lounge, you're welcome.
There you
come along. Oh. We're going to go out to the archery range and we're going to fill those hay bales with lead. So there'll be lead bellies. If you understand.
Oh.
So thank you so much for writing that lovely, lovely review. Don't forget to download, subscribe, and follow to us on iTunes, all those various places. Tell your friends about this podcast. It's the easiest way to make this podcast grow. Ashley, where can they find this podcast on social media if they want to suggest the future lesson?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Tiki Talkie and everywhere on the internet at Ashley V. Robinson. You can find Geek History Lesson, of course, at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHL Podcast, and on Instagram at Geek History Lesson.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin. That's JAWIIN. And don't forget, I'll be at GalaxyCon Richmond 2023, March 24th to 26th. And Ashley will be at WonderCon in Anaheim, California, that same exact week. And now we're to the last part of the podcast.
Stick around.
Hashtag stick around. Make sure you stuck through all the plugs. Ashley.
Yes.
Talking about the New York one.
Yes.
Would you like living in the Continental, in the John Wick universe? And do you think it has good service?
Oh, that is a hard question because I feel like if I lived in the Continental on the days that John Wick was not there, I would probably have a really lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure where the Continental is.
It seems like it's downtown.
If it's that close to where he was in Central Park, it's in like Central Park West.
Uh-huh.
Somebody knows though for sure. I mean, I could Google where that building is, but I won't.
Here, I'll Google it real quick.
So I love New York. I love big buildings in New York. I love big old buildings in New York. So I feel like if I was there on a day that John Wick was not there, I would have a great time living in the Continental.
Well, he only broke the rules once.
Yeah, but in like a big way.
Okay.
I also do think that their service is absolutely impeccable. And I think I would be the annoying person who tried to befriend Chiron.
So the John Wick wiki says that it is located at Manover Street, block 23-2077, Special District, Lower Manhattan.
Oh, Lower Manhattan, okay.
So that's where it says it is. So I don't know.
Well, I also like Lower Manhattan, so that's fine. Yeah.
What would that be close to?
I mean, ish, like the...
I just don't know New York as well as you do, so...
Down by where you try to get on the ferries.
For like the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah. Oh, like okay. It's on the lower half of the island. Yeah. Okay, cool. Like the Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that close to it, but sort of in a vague approximation.
My answer is I don't think I would like it because I'm not a huge fan of Manhattan.
I was going to say, I was like, well, you don't like New York.
But
so.
I think I would like the hotel.
It's a cool hotel. Yeah.
I think I would like the hotel. And I think Lance Reddick would be an amazing
Concierge.
There you go. Couldn't pull it.
You and I also like to stay in like cool old hotels. So I feel like it would fit that sensibility.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Stay safe out there where all the bullets are flying and all the doggies are biting. Take care of yourself. Hope you enjoy John Wick Chapter 4. And if we get some positive feedback, maybe we'll do John Wick Chapter 4 as well. We'll roll it around. We'll keep the John Wick franchise.
We'll roll it around.
We'll keep the John Wick franchise a Wiccan. So,
the Jonathan Wickless franchise.
That's right. All right. I am Jason, John Wickless, -Parabellum, -Chapter 5, Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, why don't you close out the podcast?
No, as you made me do last time, you teach this one, so you, why don't you do it in your best Keanu Reeves impression?
Class dismissed.